Welcome to this audio sermon presented by Blue Letter Bible. Due to the fragile nature of cassette tape storage, a portion from the end of this teaching became inaudible. Fortunately, we do not believe any of the spiritual content or the applications contained within the rest of this message have been affected. We thank you for listening, and may the Lord richly bless the time you spend in His Word.
The Lord is in the business of sending. And that song reminded me that we live in a country that has sent more missionaries and more witnesses into all the world than any nation in history. And we're coming up to another birthday of our country on July 4th, and I thought that would be good for us to be reminded of that fact, the kind of country that we get to live in, that God has raised up for the purpose of sending out the gospel. And you and I have the privilege of meeting here this morning to study about being a witness for the Lord. And the Lord has used this country, the resources here, the teaching of the gospel. And we have people from our country all over the world this morning because the Lord has sent them and because this nation has sent them. Now, we've been in this series on the profile of a growing Christian for 7 weeks, and this is the last message in that series. And we've been talking about the growth process and the freedom to grow, the life of a learner, the life of a follower, the life of a leader. And today we're going to talk about the life of a witness. And so we'll get into that in just a moment. But I would like to know, how many of you have Spurgeon morning and evening now in your home? Several, all right. Did anyone read it this morning? It was fantastic. It's so great. I brought it, and I want to read part of it because it fits in exactly with what I've been trying to say. And because Mr. Spurgeon is an artist with words, he says it much better than I do. So let's read what he had to say this morning concerning the message that I've been trying to convey, which includes all the things that you have said, but also includes this thought, that as a Christian, we have a responsibility to be growing Christians, but we grow better by looking at the Lord than at ourselves. And rather than being introspective and trying to go into ourselves and thinking more about our sin and our failure and poor little me, I'm not doing well, let's get out of that and look at the Lord and see what He's done for us. Then we grow better. Now this is what Spurgeon says as a takeoff from Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. And this is what morning and evening is about, just a devotional where he takes off on a passage of Scripture, sort of explains it, and makes it real. So he says this about Hebrews 12:2, which says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, he says, it is ever the Holy Spirit's work to turn our eyes away from self to Jesus. But Satan's work is just the opposite of this. For he is constantly trying to make us regard ourselves instead of Christ. He insinuates, your sins are too great for pardon. You have not enough faith. You do not repent enough. You'll never be able to continue to the end. You do not have the joy of God's children. You have such a wavering hold of Jesus. All these are thoughts about self, and we shall never find comfort or assurance by looking within. But the Holy Spirit turns our eyes entirely away from self. He tells us that we are nothing, but that Christ is all in all. Remember, therefore, it is not your hold of Christ that saved you. It is Christ. It is not your joy in Christ that saves you, it is Christ. It is not even your faith in Christ, though that is the instrument. It is Christ's blood and Christ's merit. Therefore, look not so much to yourself with which you are grasping Christ as to Christ. Look not to your hope, but to Jesus, the source of your hope. Look not to your faith, but to Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. We shall never find happiness by looking at our prayers, our doings, or our feelings. It is Jesus, it is what Jesus is, not what we are, that gives rest to the soul. Isn't that great? Get out of yourself. Get to the Lord. Look at him and what he's done, and we rejoice in the Lord, and we grow in that way. Now, in thinking about what we want to talk about this morning, let me ask you this question. Do you ever just sort of back off and take a look at life and the world and all the people in it, your own life, and think about your parents and the time you were born and what's happening in society now, and then say, why am I here on this earth? What is the purpose of my being? That's a good question. We ought to think about that. And we ought to think about it as a Christian. And I pose that to you this morning as a Christian. As a Christian, as a believer in Jesus Christ, why are you here on this earth? And the reason we need to ask that question is because we don't belong here. As a believer in Jesus Christ, we belong in heaven. That is our home. Now, we are here for a reason then, but we don't belong here. As Paul writes to the Philippians in chapter 3, along about verse 20, he says to them, your citizenship is in heaven. And that's true, and that's true of you. Your primary residence and your primary citizenship is in heaven, not on earth. Then, upon becoming a believer, God left you here on this earth for a time. And a part of that is for the purpose and process of growth, but also to think of it this way. We are here in his place. And in God's plan and providence for salvation and how he was going to work things out through all eternity, God planned for the Lord Jesus Christ to be here on earth for the time that he was here, approximately 33 years. He died on a cross to pay for our sins. He rose again from the dead, and he lived on the earth 40 days after his resurrection. Then he was ascended into heaven. Now, why didn't Jesus stay here geographically on earth through this period of time? He could, you know, he's alive this morning. 2,000 years is no problem for him to be living. He could have lived on the earth all that time. But he is not here geographically and physically. Now, who is here geographically and physically? Well, you are, as a Christian. And you are here on this earth this morning in his place. You are here in his behalf, in his stead, and instead of Christ being limited, in a sense, to a body in and around Jerusalem or Europe or wherever, you and I are here as believers all over this world. Therefore, Paul said to the Corinthians, you are ambassadors of Jesus Christ. And an ambassador is a representative of a king or president to a foreign nation. And you and I are here this morning as representatives of heaven, representatives of our king. We are here in his place to represent him. We are here instead of him. We need to catch that. And you and I need to know that so that we have a purpose for living every day. We are here in place of Christ instead of him in his behalf to represent him, to live for him, and then specifically to witness for him. Now let's get into that thought of being a witness for Christ. We're thinking about the growth process, the life of a learner, the life of a follower, the life of a leader, and the life of a witness. As a basis for thinking about it, let's turn to John chapter 1, verses, we'll begin at verse 1. John chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. And in John 1:1, we begin to read this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made, and without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. Now there came a man who was sent from God. His name is John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness. Now, we need to substitute our name there for John, because that's exactly what God has done in your life. That's why you are here. You are a person. You've come from God, and you are here to bear witness of the light, or our Lord Jesus Christ. So we need to know that. We are here. We're human. Here's a man. God uses people, human people like you and me, for his great purpose. And we need to understand that we are sent from God by his sovereign authority just as much as John the Baptist. And if you and I don't catch that sense of authority and sovereign authority of God in our life, we're going to be weaklings. The world is going to have us in such fear and intimidation, we'll never witness and we'll never live for him in the right way unless we catch this idea that we are sent from God. And we need to know that because God the Father has chosen us. God the Son saved us by his grace. And God the Holy Spirit called you to be a witness for Christ just as much as any of the people that we read about in the Bible. So we're here as people. We're sent from God to do what? To bear witness. That's our life purpose. And we need to get caught up in that. Now, then, as we think about the life of the witness, we need to understand the word. We'll begin with that. What does that word mean as it's given to us in Scripture? It's a word that could be translated martyr. It's a person who has a life purpose and gives himself or herself to that purpose. It covers the whole of life. Witness is not something we do on the periphery. We're not a Christian on Sunday or a witness on Sunday and something else during the rest of the week. It captures the whole life. That's what that word means. The word martyr is both a noun and a verb, and it takes the whole life. It takes all of you. And that's what the word means in the Scripture concerning the word witness. It means martyr. To the death we witness for Christ. It also means to proclaim the truth of the Word of God. And another thought about witness is reporting. In 1 John 1:3, John says, "That which we have seen and heard concerning Christ, we declare unto you." So he's giving a testimonial report. And you can think about this in a court of law. A witness is called, and that witness has to swear that he will tell what he has seen and what he has heard. And if he does otherwise, he's in trouble. Perjury is very, very serious. And you and I are called on to give account of what we have seen and what we have heard concerning Jesus Christ. We are accountable to bear witness to that truth, and we need to fulfill it. When Jesus met a woman at the well outside of Samaria, she went running into the city and she told about the person she met, the Lord Jesus Christ, and all the people in that city were stirred up. Yes, we're to bear witness and to give an accurate report of what is happening, to what happened to us, what we have seen and heard concerning Christ, pointing people to the light. Pointing people to Jesus Christ, not to ourselves. We are not to witness about ourselves. We are to witness about the truth. And we need to be careful that we don't get too much of ourselves into that witness so that people are thinking, isn't he great? No, they ought to leave us thinking, isn't the Lord great? And isn't he wonderful? Well, I thought it would be important for us also to run through the priorities of witness so that we get that understood and have a right perspective on that in our life. So let's begin, first of all, with the priorities of witness and considering that first thing, that the priority is our witness to each other in the body of Jesus Christ. Our top priority, and this is very important that we catch this, your witness to me and my witness to you as a Christian is first. Let's not think about the world out there just yet. We're to think about each other. And the Lord is full of this in his word. The way we treat each other is our witness to that world. The way we treat each other in the body of Christ is our witness. And so we need to know that. We need to be concerned about it. How we love each other, how we treat each other, how we respect each other, how we speak of each other as believers is our witness. And that's top priority. So therefore, we need to be very careful. We need to cut out gossip. We need to cut out slandering each other. We need to cut out being critical. We need to be very careful how we speak of fellow Christians. We need to have right attitude. We need to care about each other. We need to give to each other. We need to help each other. And we need to encourage. And there must be respect for other believers. We must not demand our own way, but we must have a giving spirit. And let me encourage you, don't think about witnessing to unbelievers if your fellow believers have no respect for your Christian life. You work at that. You gain that. Let's have respect for each other. Let's have a testimony together. And let that be the power that makes an impact on the world around us. And we need to do that. And that is our witness. The Lord said, by your love for each other, all people will know you're my disciples. So let's not pretend that we care about a lost world unless we really care about each other in the body of Christ. And we work hard at building a strong, healthy church body. And that church body then witnesses to the world. That's top priority. Second priority is this. Second priority is family witness. Our witness and our life before those who live with us and right around us. Now, this is only logical, and it's scriptural. Our witness to our wives and our husbands, our parents, our grandparents, our brothers and sisters, our roommate at school, whoever that may be, the one who lives right with us is a priority witness. Our life must count there through faithful daily living. And after all, that's what makes an impact, isn't it? The Lord never called you to try to be sensational or spectacular. You're not being held accountable to that. But the Lord is calling us to be faithful. And those we live with see our life every morning, every evening, and they see us and they look at us. Now, let me say this. And you already know this, that this witness is the most difficult. The most difficult place to bear your life consistently for Christ, of course, is at home. Somehow, it's, I don't know if it's innate or inborn within us, somehow, we can get into a pattern of treating those at home in a worse way than we treat those outside. Have you ever noticed that? Sometimes as children growing up, we take our parents for granted and we tend not to treat them as well as we treat our friends and other people. And even in marriage, taking each other for granted, we think we can come home and, as the saying goes, let our hair down and rip on the people at home. Now that isn't right. Our first witness is in the family. And it's hard and it's difficult, but we need to really maintain our Christian life there, our responses and reactions ought to be right there with each other. And then, of course, living at home that way with that contact and that daily life together, we have to be real. You can sort of be a phony for a little while on the outside, and we can pretend something that we're really not with each other when we just have a short contact. But over the long haul, if a person's watching your life at home, you've got to be real. And that's why this witness at home is so important. One time, Jesus healed a man, and the man said, "I want to go with you." Jesus said, "No, go home and witness." That's where it's important. God has placed some people around you in your family, and it's important for you to have a witness there. And this witness you give by your life and by your character. And I know that there are a lot of people that would testify that you're a character, but I don't mean that kind of thing. It's the qualities of your life that really begin to count at home, and they need to be seen. And so there is not only the witness to the body, but there's a family witness that's top priority. A third area of witness is a friendship witness. Taking the time with people to become a friend. It's sort of like earning the right to witness, because people will know that you really care about them. That we take a genuine interest in each other. And then they listen to what we want to say about the Lord. There's a sense of loyalty and devotion and faithfulness. And if we want to have friends, then we have to take the time to be a friend and live that way so that we earn the right to witness in friendship witness. Friendship witness is a very, very powerful witness and one of the best ways that there is. A fourth way is a serving witness, where you and I give our testimony for the Lord by the way we help people, by the way we sacrifice our time. We talked about serving in the life of a learner and a follower and a leader. It ought to be there. Serving is a great witness, and in the New Testament, there is a list of the gifts that God gives, and one of those is called the gift of helps. And the people with the gift of helps are people to be admired and respected because their testimony is strong. And it just gets right down to the nitty-gritty of life of fixing and helping and moving and working on cars and houses and PA systems and ushering and taking songbooks around and everything that we do to help each other, doing dishes and cleaning house. And serving each other is what is real. And the way we do that and our attitude with which we do that is a great, great, wonderful witness. And we need more of that in the body of Christ. People here in the Riverside Community Church need to volunteer. Volunteer to bring some flowers. Volunteer to help with things. Don't wait for leaders to get at you all the time. If you see a thing that needs to be done, jump in there and do it as a volunteer Christian for the Lord. And help out and help each other. And don't leave the serving to just a few people. That makes a sick body. It's when the whole body jumps in there and helps with love and care and does something. Don't just come here on Sunday and sit. You do something for somebody else. Your life will take on a new glow. The Lord will be honored, and you'll have His joy and witness because you're serving. How we serve is our witness. Another way is called a teaching witness, and that makes us students of the Bible. We must know the gospel, and we must know the truth, and we must study the scripture to find answers to life questions. I was interested in what Chet was saying, that the students ask, how do you know the Bible is real? How do you know that Christ is the only Savior? How do you know that by His death on the cross you're forgiven of sin? Well, we need to study the Scripture to get the answers to those questions so that we can witness, and that's a teaching witness. By teaching the Scripture And I don't mean that just in a formal way by lecturing to a large group or even a small group. We can teach one-on-one, but every one of us are responsible to teach the gospel and to teach the scripture. And I want to say to you this morning that that is the most necessary witness we have. And this is the most effective witness. When you and I can teach the gospel, can teach the truth to another person, that's the kind of witness that builds a solid base in life and gives a person something to live on. This is the most effective and the most necessary and the most wonderful witness. And you and I ought to be students of the Word of God, and you ought to be reading some other Christian literature that will help you in this teaching witness. One book is Evangelism and the Sovereignty of God by J.I. Packer. And if you are interested at all in being a Christian witness, you ought to have that in your library, Evangelism and the Sovereignty of God by Packer. There's another book by John Blanchard called Right with God. And the way he presents the gospel is the best I've ever seen. And you might want to get that. There's another small booklet called Today's Gospel by Walter Chantry. And he puts what's happening today in perspective of the sort of shallow presentation that comes about in many ways to teach us that we must have a teaching witness. So this teaching witness is all important, and you and I should be engaged in that. We get real conversions by teaching. And I'm concerned today about the number of dropouts that we have, people who may come to Sunday school or who may come to church or who may be around the fellowship a little bit and drop out. Why is that? Probably never really converted to Christ. Been converted to something else, but not to Christ. And we need the teaching witness for real conversions. People who are really born from above, not being deceived by some psychological or emotional need, but really converted to Christ. Now another witness, number six, is called a testimony witness. This is where there are opportunities maybe to speak to a group or other individuals, an opportunity to tell it, to present the gospel. And down in our area where I live in Newport Beach, and attending Mariners Church and being a part of that, once a year we have what is called Christian Leadership Week. And there's a mayor's prayer breakfast, and the city council is involved, and the business leaders of the community gather, and they hear a message concerning the gospel and concerning Christ. Then every morning and every evening in homes all over that area, host and hostesses gather friends and unsaved people, and men and women who have been trained to give their testimony go into those homes and give out the gospel. Now that week has a major impact on many lives. And some of the men who have been converted to Christ during that week grow in the Lord, have become elders at church, and all kinds of great things happen during that week. Now that ought to be happening all the time. And it might be good to consider as a body here, what can we do in outreach in terms of giving our testimony? Why not take an evening during the summer and invite some friends to your house and arrange for a couple of men or someone to come and give a testimony of the salvation of the Lord and tell it like it is. Another group that does that continually is called Christian Businessmen's Committee. And that's all they do. They meet once a week for breakfast, and their purpose is to bring another person who is not a Christian. And some Christian then will give a testimony of concerning the gospel of Christ. There's that kind of witness. Number seven is called a counseling witness. And all of us have opportunity to enter into this because there are so many hurting people in the world. And every week I get calls from hurting people, and sometimes I think, well, I've heard the worst story that could ever happen to a human being, and then the next week I hear a worse one.
Unfortunately, At this point in the original tape, the remainder of the message was not recoverable. Therefore, this is the end of the message. God bless you, and we hope you found this tape useful in your study of God's Word.